All right, it's Elijah's bar mitzvah, and he did great. You can breathe now. But appropriately, I thought, I want to talk about becoming a man of God. People say, oh, you're, you know, it's funny, in Jewish tradition is people, they become a man, and then they leave Jewish life. Right? I did my bar mitzvah, and then I split. That's what most people say. Right? But and I can understand to a degree. But for us, you know, having the intimacy of Yeshua and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, this is the beginning. It's not the end of Jewish life, as it is for many, but it's the beginning. And so people talk about be a man, and unfortunately we hear even in the news of toxic masculinity, careful, but the reason is that there is even a war, and I've spoken about this a lot, like war on manhood, on being a man. And what does it mean to be a man? And that's what I want to talk about. This is primarily for you, but others can glean. Next slide. So a man must be equipped, and especially as your father knows, when you go into situations, you have to be prepared to know about what you're doing. You have to have a plan, and you have to have the materials you need. It's important to be equipped. Now, this comes from 2 Timothy 3:16. Paul is writing to Timothy, who he treats as his own son. All scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, restoration, training in righteousness, so that the person, or could be translated as man, belonging to God may be capable, fully equipped for every good deed. So the purpose is, how do you get equipped? You have to be like Yeshua according to the scriptures. Not according to Google or the news, but the scriptures. What do the scriptures say about who Yeshua is? And what does it mean to be a man? And that's how you should guide yourself. So that you be fully equipped, not partly, and for all good things to do. Okay. Next. First, I want to emphasize is being strong. We're combating a culture that wants to weaken men. And there's nothing wrong about being a sensitive man, but a man should be strong. And what do we mean by strength? We don't mean lording it over others, as Yeshua criticizes those of the nations. But first off, we have to have a strong relationship with God. That power comes from knowing God. Yes, power. There is knowledge. Knowledge produces power, but more importantly than that is relationship, knowing who he is. And that includes knowing his Holy Spirit, like we talked about earlier, is in being sensitive to the Spirit, where he's moving, what he's doing. There's strength in being sensitive to God and knowing that ultimately it's his power that gives us strength. People often depict Samson as a man with big muscles, but it's probably not true. He probably was just an average-looking guy, but because the power of God was on him, he could wipe out 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey because of the power of God. Be strong in faith and in worship. Don't take these things for granted. I'm a man. I don't need to, you know, be exuberant or praise God mightily. This is their strength in that. We see this with David. Be strong in his grace, that knowing that we deserve nothing, that God has given us everything, and that it's his power that sustains us and gives us the ability to do what we have to do. Be strong in the word. Know the scriptures. Be able to decipher things, to judge spirits, to judge what people say. Because people are going to say, this is true, and that's true, and that's true. And how do you know? Go to the scriptures, pray, ask God for discernment. Like I said, be strong in prayer. A man of God is one who prays a lot. The next slide. Being strong in prayer essentially means when you got more stuff to do and you have more stress in your life, you should be praying more. People are going to say, I don't have time to pray. Well, then really you don't have time to do other stuff well. You have to make time to pray. That means sometimes you may have to sacrifice sleep. Sorry. But you have to pray. Sometimes Yeshua spent all night in prayer. Or he'd get up early before the sun and he'd pray. Because he himself knew he needed to be close with his father. Being strong in prayer allows us to overcome. It gives us strength. It gets our needs according to his will. A lot of time we're praying, what is your will, and therefore ask accordingly to that. Not the other way around. I need this, and then make your will to fit my needs. Rather, as Yeshua said, I don't want to die, but he said, but your will be done. ultimately is that that's the signature of every one of our prayers. We knowing that praying, this is what's beautiful in Proverbs 15:8 says, that praying pleases God. He likes this intimacy with us, that we're talking with him, we're communicating with him, we're seeking him. It builds faith when we pray. When we did the outreach the other week, I was nervous, but I prayed, God, give me boldness. And I felt the boldness of God, this Holy Spirit, said, I can do this now. Not because of me, but I knew that he would give me the strength to do it. It also relieves stress. Now, I love essential oils. Lavender is great. It relieves stress. But prayer is even better. It says, be anxious for nothing, but with all and all things, through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Messiah Yeshua. We can receive forgiveness through prayer. And if we confess our sins, he's just and he'll forgive us. And it also blesses, this is a way we can bless others. We can bless those who are in the body of Messiah. We can bless those who persecute us. We can bless our leaders. And we should pray about all things. Next. Now, a man wants to be, typically men want to be great. They want to do great things. The key to greatness is humility. We read from Yeshua, he says this multiple times. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Now, what this doesn't mean is what the world is going to try to tell you is abase yourself or be weak. There's no weakness in this. But there's an acknowledgement that God is greater and I'm a servant. And therefore, I will do as God pleases. If your first job is, say, cleaning toilets, do it the best. So that when people see, they'll say, wow, this guy is serious about cleaning toilets. And you'll say, because I love God and I want to do a great job, they'll bring him glory and honor you as my boss. That speaks volumes as opposed to, I don't have to clean toilets, I'm better than this. Then God will put you down and teach you that whatever's in front of you, that's the way how you can worship God. The humble receive grace, we read, and wisdom and favor. And it's important to know these things, that know to admit when you're wrong, the key here is the word no. That you have the wisdom to acknowledge when you're wrong. Because again, the world's going to say, oh, you should apologize for everything, and being a man is even a fault. That's not true. No, there's a right time to say you're wrong, and there's a right time to say, no, I'm right. And this is true. And I'm going to defend this and stand up for this. Whether it offends people or not, that's not my problem. I have to stand up for the truth. And if I'm wrong, then you admit you're wrong. You don't bully it over people, but you stand for what's right. And if you miss what's right, you're quick to repent. You're also quick to forgive. Admit when you need help. Try your best. But it's better to ask for help and to do it right than to keep messing up, even though your pride says, I got to do this. And acknowledging all these things, that God is your source of strength, wisdom in everything, even donuts. Next. Going hand in hand with humility is servanthood, being a servant. It's serving is the way of the kingdom. And we were slaves to Pharaoh. We were slaves to sin. It says now in the scriptures that we are slaves to God. Paul often addresses himself as a slave of Yeshua, that he is our master. And we're here to do his will because he's purchased us. And it imitates Yeshua. Well, as a servant, we're to be like our master. And he said, I've come not to be served, but to serve. And even Jill's word of bare feet, I think of him washing our feet, that our master would wash our feet. Likewise, we in turn should wash other people's feet. Now, when we serve, it honors, it blesses, it's worship, and it is love. Love is an action. Love seeks the best for other people. And we serve God and Yeshua's congregation first. People think, oh, my family. Yes, your families are important. But if the body disintegrates, then what will feed the family? Then you take care, you serve in your family, at work, your friends, and serve the lost. Seek their needs. How can you meet them? How can you bless others? And as Bruce was saying earlier, if God and our kingdom and in his kingdom are first, everything else will fall into order. That's what we will be, we'll get what we need if we seek God and his kingdom first. Next. And at the base of all this, and this is one of the keys to being a good man, is self-control. There's some really powerful statements here from Proverbs, and we know that this is the last of the fruit of the Spirit, is self-control. It says in Proverbs 16:32, better to be slow to anger than a mighty warrior. One who controls his temper, in Hebrew, literally it says, controls himself, is better than one who conquers a city. So if you think about how great, say, like Alexander the Great, if you ever study his, how he conquered the known world at that time. He was great. But according to the scriptures, if you can control yourself, you're even greater. If you can control your temper, you're even greater. It's hard, but it's possible. With God, all things are possible. And the opposite of this, this is no, if you don't have self-control, you have no defenses. That means you're vulnerable to attack. It actually means you're weak. Because it says in Proverbs 25:28, like a city whose walls are broken down is one with no control over his temper, or in Hebrew, matzarucho, which is self-restraint. You can't control yourself, therefore you're vulnerable to attack. Strength comes, and again, this is not on your own strength, but praying that, again, it's from the fruit of the Spirit, that God would work this within you and guide you so that you can control yourself through his power. This will make you great. Next. Ultimately, at the core of it all, being a man is being like Yeshua. It's just some quick things. You have to know him. You can't, as you begin to become a man, you can't rely upon your parents to tell you about him. He wants to know you. He said to his disciples many emphatically, he says, let the children come to me. Yes, you're becoming a man, but you're still young. Go to him. And he embraced them. He didn't just put his hands on them. He embraced them. And he said, he who denies a child and to come to me in my name, it's better that he put a rope around his neck with a stone and throw himself in the water. That's some pretty strong language. That let the children come to him and to know him so that they can be taught by him and to grow up and be like him. Be with people who love him. You're going to be pulled this way and that to be with friends, to watch this, to hear that, to do this, to try this. But be with people who love him because there's life. Read about him. Study the scriptures. Know what the scriptures say. Don't listen about, people will say, my Jesus would say this. It's not mine or yours. It's who he is. Talk with him. Pray. Listen to his voice. It says in John 10, my sheep know my voice. They will not listen to the voice of a stranger. Know what his voice sounds like. This is where you can seek the guidance of your parents, your older siblings, and the leadership here. What is the voice of Yeshua? Let him shape you into his image. The more you spend time with him, the more you seek his will, the more you'll become like him. And know the depth of your being, when there's nothing else that is pushing you in the right direction, knowing that he is the ultimate man. And as Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. Even when I don't know anything, what you can know is that he has eternal life in him. When you have nowhere else to go, nothing else to say, you don't know where to turn, turn to him. When Paul and Silas were thrown in prison, they didn't start panicking. They worshiped God. When David was about to be stoned by his own men because their city was ransacked and the women and the children were taken, it says, "Vayit chazik David ba'donai," when David strengthened himself in the Lord. Go to him. Make him your rock. You will one day will leave your home. It says, if you hear Yeshua's words and you do them, your house that you will build as a man will be built upon the rock, and it won't be shaken. You'll do well, Elijah. You really will. God bless you. May you make you like Yeshua for his glory, to honor your father and your mother. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.